disguise, like you said, of fat acceptance,
well,
like unhealthy acceptance,
mm-hmm.
or also like over sexualization acceptance of like, you are not body positive enough if you're not afraid, if unless you don't shave your legs and
take
your
top off, if you don't take pictures without
if you're not wearing a bra, and I don't know what else, you know, it's like, oh, then you don't really love your body if you're not also.
If you can't walk into the grocery store without a top on, you don't love your body. You're not comfortable with yourself.
And so.
Or like Lizzo.
I think that's when it gets distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, there is some good, I think, in seeing another person and being like, wow, she's flat like me, flat chested, and she's gorgeous. And she's.
Can't relate to cancel culture, hookup culture, or victim culture? Well, neither could we. We created this platform for those other girls. Girls like us who want to give a different perspective from a Christian and conservative worldview. We talk about life, work, relationships, and everything in between. Let's be those other girls that don't just talk about culture, but change culture and bring back traditional values.
The views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not reflect our employers. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. You're listening to Those Are the Girls with Mally and Friends. I'm Mallory.
And I'm Melanie.
And we are changing cultures and bringing back traditional values. Woo! Okay, so it is Saturday. We're recording this Saturday morning. And you're going to hear this on Saturday. A lot has happened this week. A lot. We have a lot to go over. The tea is piping hot this week. But I have a fun little opener for us today, for us to do. If you are a human that has the internet at all, you have heard of the movie or the show Squid Game. Melanie has not seen it yet.
No.
I don't know why, but, you know, I've recommended it a couple of times, but whatever. I saw it. So I watched my brother was like, oh, watch the show. And I was like, I don't really want to watch this. And he was like, no, like you are want to watch it because you're going to be upset when everybody else is talking about it and you don't know what they're talking about, which is what happens every single time. So I was like, okay, fine. So I'm like on my phone the first couple parts, and then this isn't necessarily spoiling it because you should know by now. So the first game happens, and the first game is they're playing red light, green light, you know, the game from our childhood. So they're playing red light, green light, and then someone moves when you're not supposed to move, and a sniper kills them. So that happened, and I put my phone down. I was like, oh. Now I'm intrigued. What is this show? So then I watched, then like maybe a day or two later, I watched the next episode. And then I want to say it was like the day that we had off. I just went ahead and knocked out the rest. So I was like, I must see the end of this. So for those who don't know, so the Squid Game is essentially, they pick 456 random people who are like super poor and they owe like that millions of dollars. And they offer them a chance to win billions of dollars, like billions. And is someone okay at your house, Melanie?
Oh my goodness, you can hear that. My mother is in the other room and coughing her lungs out.
Is she okay? So. Do you need to get her some water?
She's okay. It's okay. Just, I guess, been like progressively getting worse. She lost her voice.
Oh no.
let me go.
Okay. Well, I'll explain a little bit more while Melanie steps out for a second. These people go to they go to this like place and they're like knocked out and they're put in like these outfits and they're at this place and they can win billions of dollars. They sign like a paper, they sign like a consent form that essentially signs away their rights, and they are allowed to play these games. So what it is they play child games from their childhood. So they play Red Light, Green Light. So some of these games are like Korean, because it's a Korean show, so they're kind of like Korean oriented. So like some of the games I had never heard of, but like another game that I did hear of were two games that were like, I guess, cross-cultural, or like tug of war and playing with marbles. So yeah, that's the premise of the game. So you play the childhood games, and if you lose, you are dead. And one thing I've noticed about Asian shows, I've seen a couple here and there, and I'm an anime dabbler. One thing I've noticed is their gore is a little bit different than ours. A little bit different than ours. Especially when it comes to real people. One thing I noticed also too about British shows, though, I've dabbled in British shows. Doctor Who fan over here, the show called Misfits. I don't know if I would recommend it. It does get a little saucy. But part of that, oh, and I've never seen this show, but I've seen commercials and I have friends that have watched it, the Skins, the British version of the show Skins. I know tons of people have seen that. Well, in Britain and London, in that area, they are a little bit saucier when it comes to sexual content. They definitely show more. They definitely are a little bit more, believe it or not, more than American. Like Americans have gotten, you know, our explicit content has definitely increased over the years. But I do feel like the shows I watch, like I'm having to fast forward more, or like, it's just like, whoa, okay, that was so unnecessary. Did not see that. That moves nothing for the plot. And while we're still waiting on Melanie, I guess I'll just rant a little bit about stuff like, oh, Melanie's back. Good. You guys are about to hear me rant. Okay, so long story short, Mel.
I did not know I didn't mute myself. So, yeah, y'all. So my mom's coughing her lungs out.
Oh.
And so she's vaccinated, but you know, like some vaccinated people can still magically get COVID and die. And so I just suggested to her, like, maybe you should go, you know, get tested if you have it, even though she's fully vaccinated and she doesn't want to go get tested.
Well, there's so many other reasons you could be hacking your lungs out than COVID.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just,
you're concerned. Yeah,
I no, just I get it. I well, she's also a teacher, and so she's been around her students recently. And
oh yeah, they.
Anyways,
yeah,
I just make the point of like I'm not vaccinated,
Melanie.
And I'm not sick is all I'm going to say. I have not gotten sick. I don't know. Just something to think about. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a reality in many people's lives. But yes. So
did you finish explaining the Squid Game?
Yeah, but I can like do a quicker summary for you real quick. So essentially these people have signed their rights away to get billions of dollars to play childhood games. And
oh my goodness.
So Red Light, Green Light's the first one. And then
yeah,
a lot of them are like Korean oriented that people played in Korea because it's a Korean show, but they also played tug of war and marbles, which were two, I guess those are cross-cultural games, but they played a tug of war game of marbles, and when you lose, like you don't just lose, you die. So
is the point to get to one like last person standing at the end,
and they get billions of dollars. So these are people who are down on their luck. These are people who owe money, like owe lots and lots of money. And this is, they feel like this is their only way to get out of their debt.
Do the people know that there's the potential to die?
No. Initially, okay. People did not know. They were like, so when they played Red Light, Green Light, and this one guy moved and the sniper got him, it was like, wait, what? Yeah. And then, so when they played and the Cypher got him, people started running, turning back, but they were still supposed to be frozen. So all the people who started running, turning back, they were killed too.
Wow.
Yeah. So my question for you, Melanie, is if you were on Squid Game, what is a childhood game that you play that you could win? Like that you would feel safe and comfortable, like, okay, I can win this one.
The first game that comes to my mind is Candyland.
I don't think I've ever finished a game of Candyland before. It's a childhood monopoly.
I always cheated at Candyland. I always stacked the cards in a way so that when I would go, like, the second time, I magically would be like, oh, I'm way over here on the board now. That's just the card I drew. And
that's terrible.
Yeah, that's just the first game that comes to my mind. I don't feel like I was ever terribly bad, but I definitely wasn't the first person being picked for teams.
Oh, same.
So
when I was watching and some of the other games, like, dang, honestly, I probably would have been out. I think I would have made it at least to the second game. Definitely, like, the first game. So what got people was the fear, like, if people started shooting, I don't know if I would have just stood frozen.
You would have run away?
I think I would have run away, and then I would have moved when you're supposed to stay still. So then, I don't know. But when the rest of those games, oh well, like, it was fun. I hope someone take care of my family. Like, those games were hard.
Some of them. Here's the thing, though, about debt is, like, at least from my understanding, is like the debt still has to be paid somehow. Yeah. So, like, wouldn't it just go to their families?
Yep. So that's sad. So you gotta build it. So what in my head, I'm like, I would have built an alliance with someone who I trusted that could probably win. And then when they could probably win, I'd give them, like, my address or something to see if they could, like, at least spare a little bit of their billions to take care of my parents or something. I think that's how I would have done it. So the game I would have played would have been Mancala. I feel like I was a beast at Mancala. You remember that game?
No. Mancala?
Mancala? Maybe you might call it something differently. I'll send you a picture of it.
Mancala?
Mancala.
Like on the phone?
Yeah, Mancala. No, it's like, it's that game with the marble. Oh, it's the game with the marbles. I'm going to send you a picture. I wonder, maybe it's just like a North Carolina thing. I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know.
Mancala?
No, Mancala. Mancala.
Kala?
Kala! Okay, I'm sending you a picture.
Oh, I think I found it. Yes, I found it.
What did you call it?
This is like a board game-ish, right? M-A-N-C-A-L-A?
Yeah.
This looks like a Chinese or Japanese marbles game.
Is it? It could, I don't know. We played that like it was nobody's business. Like, that was a game everywhere I went. Bless her heart. Everywhere I went, like summer camps, school, ballet, when we were waiting to go on stage, like, Mancala was the game.
Dang.
Yeah, maybe it's just a North Carolina thing. Because I guess when I think about it, I don't remember anybody mentioning it in New Jersey. But I feel like we weren't really looking at board games in New Jersey in college. But yeah, Mancala.
Nice.
That's a fun game.
I'm also really good at Mafia.
Oh,
that's not a childhood game, though. I would give my life for Mafia.
Oh my god. Well, Mafia actually would be a good game to play for Squid Game, because there is an actual, like, there's like a death, not a literal death when you play as a normal human, but there's like a death. I like doing with Mafia is creating up like how people died. I always thought that was fun.
Yeah. Like being the narrator.
Yeah. All the other ones was just like super intense and I'd be like super nervous. But then one time someone was like, well, be the narrator. And ever since then I was like, this is my calling.
Nice.
I am always narrating. Good.
Yeah. We need narrators.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. there was this game that we played on a computer that was basically like Mafia. Oh my gosh. But there was like zombie vampire was an option. Like it was just it was like a computer game. Like my last year in college we were playing. It was dumb, but it was fun. It was dumb, but fun. Anything else we want to talk about really quick in our lives before we get into the tea? Anything exciting?
Well, I don't remember if I've shared this already, but I have started my new job / position with Students for Life as a Texas regional coordinator. Ooh. So I every semester Students for Life has a different display / tour is what we call it that we take around the nation, and so it's always relevant to whatever's going on in culture at that time, something that we want to be dialoguing about on campuses. And so Texas is ever so special that we have a display made specifically to talk about the heartbeat law. And so my job is to take this display all around the state. And so I just started that this past week, was taking it to different schools in my city. And so that was exciting. And like, you know, seeing like having a display for the first time on these campuses and having conversations and just testing the waters of how do we talk about this law. And I got to train a group of students for the first time prior to the outreach on their campus. So that was exciting too. So it's been fun. It's been a good time. It's been a mix of reactions. There's been a good mix of people who are just neutral or haven't heard about the law. And then there are
some that live in Texas and they hadn't heard about it.
Mm-hmm. You have to remember these are young people, so
yeah, not everybody.
It's because I think they were high schoolers going to school at a college campus, so that could be why.
No,
I don't know.
High school Mallory would have been in the middle of it all, but that's I can recognize that I'm odd. I can admit that. Yeah,
been so some people who are just like, no, I haven't heard of it. I feel like a lot more people are like kind of neutral, but more like pro-choice leaning. And then some people who are like, oh yeah, I hate this law. So, and then there's some people who are like, yeah, I think it's great. I love that. So it's been a good mix, an interesting mix. But I do agree, like the people who haven't heard of the law, I'm like, where you been?
Yeah.
With
the whole country has been paying attention.
Yeah, the world.
Yeah,
the world. That's been exciting. That was my past week. I got to take the display to 3 campuses for the first time.
Nice.
Yeah, so I had, I think, about 170 conversations in total this past week. Not just me, but me, the students, my coworker. In total, this past week, we had about 170 conversations about the heartbeat law and abortion. And we changed, I think, about 30 people's minds or 40 people's minds.
That's good.
Like just, and that's the people who we know about, you know,
because
then people take it and they chew on it and they digest it later on.
Well, that's good because most times, you always have to remember that, like, people who are, first of all, that are even going to walk up probably already have a strong opinion. And in today's day and age, people already come up to things with such strong opinions. So the fact that you were able to change that amount of people's minds is great.
Yeah.
I was thinking 10 max, maybe.
Yeah. No, it's been really effective, especially because part of the display is we're leading people and encouraging people to watch a video. So we have a video, if you're familiar with the live action Baby Olivia video. Yes. So yes, so we have a QR code, which makes it that much easier that they're, that, you know, the young people, QR codes. So the youths will scan the QR code that leads them to a video that talks about fetal development. And then the second half of the video is one of the abortion procedure videos of Dr. Anthony Leventino describing an abortion. So I think that's also been a very helpful tool with changing people's hearts and minds, because many people afterwards have said, I didn't know that's what an abortion looked like. I didn't know that is what abortion was. So that's been a very helpful tool, that video, with changing hearts and minds on abortion.
Yeah, I think many people don't. They just, because it's such a tough topic, I think I heard someone say, like, growing up, our parents were taught and taught us that you're not supposed to talk about religion and politics, and not saying that abortion, I think abortion is a human rights, but right now it's under religion and politics topic. But we grew up being told we're not supposed to talk about those two things, and because we were told not to talk about those two things, when people do talk about it, everybody's super uncomfortable, and it shouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. But like, we've stopped talking about things that are important, and people just aren't educated on what an actual abortion is, and that's, I think that's how you're going to change their minds, because I mean, we know, and like, we're around people who do know, but every time I go do something, or like if I'm in a new group of people and somehow the topic comes up, I try not to be the person to bring it up. But if it comes up, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I'm never the person to bring it up, because I'm like, I'm off of work, y'all. Let's just chill. I don't need to talk about this stuff. Let's just talk about life.
Right. Like, if it does come up, it's amazing how many people just aren't educated, who just do not know.
Yeah.
And typically I'm like that. Like, I don't want to bring it up, but there have been times where like I've been places and people would be like, well, Mallory does blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
oh my gosh, Mallory, that was literally me this past week when I was visiting with my friend Thursday night. He had this other friend who joined us, and both times it was like, yeah, Melanie does pro-life. She does pro-life. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I work for blah, blah, blah. Yeah, what do you do?
Right. Yeah.
Like, well, I don't want to talk about it.
Now, if you start asking me questions, okay, of course, but, you know. Yeah. Especially if I'm a, you know, but anyway.
I definitely think, too, on that note, that I feel like, I don't know, like the pendulum, I guess that's the word, the thing, like, it is pendulum. Mm-hmm. I completely did not say the right word. The pendulum is shifting, you know, that people are more comfortable talking about it. At least that's just been my experience on the college campuses. And we're very different in the United States. Like, our culture is way more open to talking about abortion than other parts of the world. Oh. I know, for example, I have a friend who lives in Austria, and she works for Pro-Life Europe, which is, you can kind of think of like Students for Life version in Europe. And she told me, like, the culture is very different there. Like, nobody talks about abortion. It's just not a thing that you do. Okay. And so even though it's still a taboo here in the States, we talk about it way more. We're way more comfortable talking about, what's your opinion on abortion? Oh man, abortion law, heartbeat law. You know, we're just way more open and talking about it than like just what I know of my friend's experience in Austria. So we're definitely blessed. And I'm very thankful that, you know, we're at least further along in that sense of, we do talk about it. Yeah. You know? Even though for some people it is still a taboo and uncomfortable to talk about.
Well, that's interesting, and I feel like that also says a lot about the world, if, because I feel like we just don't talk about it, but if it's even worse in other countries, I wonder, they probably must get away with a lot of different things, and if no one's talking about it, you can get away with so much more. I feel like
it could just be also just like what I'm used to seeing, like doing the abortion-free cities door knocking. You're literally going up to people's doors, you're telling them about the bad abortion facility near their neighborhood and pro-life health centers that are alternatives to that, you know, you're going to people's doors and you're talking about abortion on their, you know, doorstep. And so, and then being on campuses. So I feel like people are like, people don't like bat an eye when they're like, oh yeah, the abortion facility, you know, it's just like, oh, what about it? You know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. I guess we should probably get it, 'cause we have a lot to talk about today. We should get into it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
To talk some tea. Okay. That was we're working on it still. we're working on it. Okay, so let's get into it. We're gonna do fast three stories really quick. Well, I didn't write it in the docket, but I saw today we have an update on last year's zebra, or last week's zebra. It was found. Oh, no. Yeah, one of them, not all of them, one of them was found dead.
Oh.
Yeah. So in Maryland. Maryland. One of the Maryland runaway zebras was discovered dead in a snare trap on September 16th. A month ago. Why are they just not telling us? The death was announced on Thursday, almost a month after it happened. The deceased zebra was found when Maryland Department of Natural Resources police force responded to a report regarding a dead animal. Instead of happening upon the typical forest creature, the officer discovered the zebra caught in a snare trap. Such traps are outlawed in Maryland. Rest in peace to our beloved zebra. May you run free forever.
So the zebra died by an animal trap?
Yeah, a snare trap though. Let me look up what that is real quick. A snare trap. Also too, okay. Oh, that's interesting. But also too, so where's the other one? Like there were two. So okay, one is dead. Did the other one just go somewhere? I hope it mates with another animal and creates some sort of hybrid baby. That would be so cool. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
So our next one. I'll do that one last. So our next one is, we got an update on the Gabby Petito. We got her autopsy and it showed that the strangulation is the cause of her death. So that's sad.
That's so sad. And if y'all, I don't feel like I've been as invested in the Gabby Petito story as other people, but I took the time to watch that last like police footage that was on YouTube.
Yeah.
I didn't watch all of it. I think I watched like 3/4 of it.
Yeah, it's like an hour.
Mm-hmm. And so it's so sad that Mallory, did you watch that video?
Yeah, I've never seen the whole way through, but I've seen lots and lots of clips.
Okay, so I think the like main thing from that video that many people were angry about in the comments section is that Gabby was distraught the entire time and crying, and Gabby was saying that they were fighting all morning and that they were like hitting each other, and that she tried to like push him away and she like pushed his face, and then he was all like calm and he said we were having a pleasant morning really, and just like overly calm and then kind of like weirdly glad that she was being accused of the one who like did violence upon him. And
yeah, if you really quick, if you there's a clip that Inside Edition showed of him walking into the hotel, because technically he was the victim of domestic violence, so a domestic violence shelter got him a hotel to be separated. And if you see the clip of him walking in, he has this like this big smile, like, ah, yes, I'm going into a hotel. It's so weird.
It's just so backwards.
Yeah.
Because why would a crying, distraught person. I don't know. It doesn't make common sense. It's just like, yeah, so very sad.
I just recently saw the clip where the police officer was basically saying, like, it's her fault that she got upset. She can't help it. At her age, she gets upset, something like that. So, you know, we're not, I'm not a feminist. We're not anti-men over here. That's not our thing. But I do think that it does lead some credence that it appears that the guy was really coming at it from like, she's a hysterical woman. She's just one of those crazy hysterical women, as opposed to like really, as one of my friends said, really doing policing. But here's the other aspect I thought of. It felt like watching the parts that I've watched, it felt like they were doing more of like a, like how people are saying defund the police, we need like mental health people, we need it seemed like they were doing more of, instead of policing, it was more of like a, hey friend, let's discuss, are you doing okay, as opposed to like, this is the facts, okay, let you know what they need to da, da, da. It felt more of like counseling, like more like he was trying to counsel them, like do some sort of marriage counseling, and it's like, no, you're a police officer. So I just find that interesting that like we kind of see what happens when you do try to do marriage counseling. And I mean, this is just one example. It could go better in other instances, but I when I was watching that, I was just like, oh, that's interesting. He's counseling what they're all suggesting needs to happen, and then unfortunately she's still murdered. So interesting. Okay, so our last fast story, what we're going to start doing now is we're going to pick two stories for the week, and then you tell us if you want us to go more in depth or if you want it to be a fast story. So you guys voted for this to be the fast story, and then the other story, our Adele story, we'll go in more depth on that later in the episode. So Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. Did you see that story I shared in my picture? I mean, the picture I shared in my story. Oh my gosh. Megan Fox. You know who Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly are, right?
I know who Megan Fox is.
Okay, Machine Gun Kelly is a rapper. Like, look them up real quick.
Okay, I'm looking. They've been dating?
Yes, they're crazy. Like, they are, something is wrong with them. So they did, and I'm not going to go into the whole interview, but I will leave the links in our articles page on the blog. They did a video, like they did like a interview, and like they have matching tattoos that say the darkest fairy tale. Like they like being like, we're this like kind of out there dark couple, and like they're just so weird, like they're just so strange. Like every time
he looks like another rapper who's going to die soon.
Yeah,
so that's how I feel about like Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato. Like I'm like, they're all gonna die soon.
And it's sad. I mean, he, like, they're just, and I think what, like, I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago, she was the one who said that she, I think she went to hell at one point, and bless you again. I think she went to hell at one point or something like that. And I was like,
Megan Fox said that?
Yeah, that's what she said, something like that. Maybe we can dive into that another episode, but they're just so odd to me. I'm going to leave you guys the link to the article, because they just say the strangest things. They are definitely like in some sort of drug-induced world. And I just keep thinking, like, how did Megan Fox end up with MGK? And I feel like MGK was not this weird all the time. I feel like he just got weirder and weirder over the years.
Oh my gosh, why are his nails so long?
Wait, what picture are you looking at?
This recent one, I just googled him, and the first picture is from Glamour. His nails are freaking like 5 inches long.
I don't know. He's just a strange one.
How does a guy like that end up with Megan Fox?
Because she just beautiful. Likes wild. Oh my God, yes. Why is his nail so long? They just like being wild and crazy.
Do you remember that, what was it, a vampire movie or like some death movie years ago that Megan Fox's main character, she was dead and so she survived off of human flesh?
Oh, that movie, Jennifer's Body.
I just bring that up because I feel like homegirl does not look like she's aging.
Oh, and from what they show us, because I try not to be too critical of celebrities, even though that's kind of our job now, from what they've shown us, I wouldn't be surprised if they have dabbled into things like that. Like, that just wouldn't surprise me because of the way that they act. All right, that has been your three stories. Fast three stories. We'll have the links, and if you ever want us to go into more in depth on them, let us know.
She's 35 years old.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now we'll get to our main stories. Our podcast is a Demi Lovato prayer line now. Once a week we will you can call in and we will spend an hour in intercessory prayer for Demi Lovato. Just joking, even though I like, in all seriousness, we probably should be praying for her, like, you know, pray for your friends and family, and then when you see celebrities going down a certain path, it's probably best to pray for them. So Demi Lovato, she thinks the term aliens is derogatory to extraterrestrials. Demi Lovato is standing up for extraterrestrials. I think that's the funniest line. She's standing up for extraterrestrials. The singer and
actor stands in solidarity with extraterrestrials.
The singer and actor who identifies as non-binary has a docuseries on Peacock titled Unidentified with Demi Lovato, in which they explore what life there may be beyond the planet. In an interview with Pedestrian, Lovato explained that they do not believe that. Okay, that confused me for a second. That they do not believe that. I'm just going to say she, so we don't confuse ourselves, everyone. Demi Lovato explained that she does not believe that beings from another planet mean to harm humans. Quote, I really think that if there was anything out there that would want to do that to us, it would have happened by now. End quote, she said. Quote, but I think that we have to stop calling them aliens, because aliens is a derogatory term for anything. That's why I call them ETs, end quote. So, odd to say the least. I also want to play you guys this clip. Hopefully you can hear it through the microphone. If not, I'll just leave the link again to the full clip. I sent this to Mel and Vic on whatever day I saw this. I was like, we must discuss this. This is a clip from her new show, which I think it'd be fun if we watched it and reviewed. Do you know how to do those clip breakdown things where like you play the clip and then you pause it and then we discuss it? Do you know how to do that on the internet?
No, I have no idea, but you could learn.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be fun to do with her show, personally. Okay, so let me play you guys this clip for everybody. One second.
Oh, I get that a lot. Okay. She has trauma.
She does?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How do you know? That's why she doesn't like men.
Okay. I respect that. Totally. We're going to stay over here and let you have a conversation with Demi.
I have trauma too. So I feel you and I get it. Do you like to sing, Carmen?
Oh. You should sing something for her, Demi.
No.
Why not? Maybe if you sang that, sing a song as an offering, we could come back in the room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that was a clip from Demi Lovato's new show, Unidentified with Demi Lovato, where they go and discuss, or like they are trying to find aliens. And they do it in a, like how people do it with Ghost. So that's confusing. She's like, I'll leave the clip. I'll link it. She's like in a room and has like a little thing that people use to talk to quote unquote ghosts. And then, so that's weird to me. Like, when did aliens start being ghosts? But it's just a very, it's sad. It's really sad because I feel like we're watching her, the 2021 version of her Britney Spears breakdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
ghost hunting aliens?
Yeah.
Like, and even, like, let's, I don't know. It's like she's speaking perfectly with the alien. Like, how do you understand what the alien is or isn't saying?
In a YouTube video that I'm going to link, one of the comments was like, oh, that's really like what she's doing. She's projecting her hurt onto what this alien is saying. And I was like, oh, dang, that's exactly what's happened. That's so sad. I mean, the whole Demi Lovato saga to me, this whole thing is just sad. And y'all know I was a big fan, big fan. We've discussed this numerous times on this podcast. And it's sad. And like her quote unquote best friend is either just as crazy as her or he's exploiting her. And I feel like a lot of people in her life have to be exploiting her because there's no way. And, you know, I believe in it. Like, I don't think that aliens are like out of the realm of possibility. Melanie, you're the same way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility. I just know what we just watched and listened to right here is not it. Like, I am certain about that. I'm certain about whatever just happened. That's not it. One of my friends on Twitter that shared this, she said that she was like, that could also definitely be a demon. And I was like, yeah. That's why you just don't dabble around in things. You don't just dabble and dibble dabble and mess around with things that are supernatural, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. What are your thoughts, Mel?
Yeah, I've heard that idea that aliens are really demons. And again, I don't think that that is outside of the realm of possibility. Like, that could be true. I don't know. But if like God, because God created all that is seen and not seen. God created, you know, what, you know, everything. And so I think it's definitely possible that the unseen, or like, you know, fallen angels could be interpreted into our human brains as aliens. Like, I think it's possible.
I like that thought, that fallen age, like our mind sees these fallen angels and we just interpret it as grays. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's a different entity, not a spirit, I don't know. Because like for me, I'm leaning more so like when people are like, this house is haunted, or like there's a ghost. Like, I'm leaning towards the idea that it's not like there's a spirit that's like stuck here, because I believe as a Christian, when you die, you're going on to the next realm. Like, you're going on to the next thing of heaven.
There's nothing holding you back.
And like, so, like, I don't understand why a demon would just, why a ghost would just be chilling if we believe as Christians that, no, you die and you go on to judgment. Like, so it makes more sense that it would be an evil spirit, a demon that's not of a human soul. And that could be aliens too, rather than a human soul that's just chilling and trying to play games, like an evil, a demon who's trying to, I don't know, mess with people. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Like, so for the ghost thing, I 110% think it's a demon in the spirit. Like, I don't think, like you said, as Christians, we believe when you die, your spirit goes on to the next life. So there's no lingering around. And I don't. And so when people, I mean, some girls when I was in a sorority were talking about going to this, like, it's the place you can go, or like a tour where you go and like a girl died and like, you walk and you can feel her touch your hand or something like that. And I'm like, that's demonic. I don't know what it is. I don't know why, or I don't know like type of spirit it is. I just know it's demonic. And like, I don't know why people play around with that. I remember also too, when I went to college, like I had never played with the Ouija board. And everybody was shocked. You've never played with a Ouija board? What? You've never played with a Ouija? I'm gonna bring a Ouija
board. Don't do it, y'all. I'm like,
no, ma'am. I do not mess around with that stuff. And then to the aliens thing, I do think, so I remember we had a Bible teacher that told us, like, the Bible was written for us. As in, like, there could be another Bible for aliens, or like God could have something specific for aliens, which, when I think too much about that doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, as an eighth grade, I was like, ooh, interesting. But I do think there is. So I never understood, when did like aliens jump over to demons? Because like the last couple years or two, people have been saying that. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, why do you say that? But I was watching this movie. It's called Close Encounters with the Fifth Kind. It's a documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. And long story short, these people take drugs and like they connect with aliens or whatever. And this guy asks his alien guide to heal him of something that was wrong with his ear. And the alien guide healed him. And in the movie, he said, I've been praying to God for so long to heal me, and I just asked my alien guide to do it. What's the point of praying to God? And then that's when I was like, oh, okay. Because like initially I was like, why would demons, like, aliens are so fringe, why would demons care to grab those people? But if you can pull people from God, if you can pull people from counting on God and believing on God, then yeah, I get it now. Like, I get why they're doing that.
I think things like ghosts chilling in a haunted house, I mean, I don't know, aliens,
well,
want you to, you know, get away, further away from the belief of like, why do I need to believe in this one God and there's other powers out there.
And I was listening to Cultish, which I feel like I refer to a lot, and they had this guy who was once a Mormon, now he's a Christian, and he was on the show and he did like a Mormon ghost hunters show.
What?
Yeah. And then, like,
I would be interested to see that.
Well, and he said that, like, I think he said like 90% it was either fake or it was explained, but then there was like 10% where it was just kind of like, and he said that, I think he said that kind of made him, because there is a supernatural realm for sure. And I want to say he said that helped him, like, made him believe in, like, the supernatural. So I think, you know, some people just don't believe that there's, because there are some things that are just unexplained. And he said that there was a couple times there were some things that was just kind of like, And he said it got really dark. He said you could go into buildings and you can tell there was, like, a demonic, dark, oppressive presence. So a lot of, even like those shows, but he said that was just like 10%. So like, there's those shows that they show, it's all, a lot of it's fake. I think what just happened with Demi Lovato, I would be shocked if that was like a real even demon encounter. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think that, I think that that's like someone in a van messing with her. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny, but like, that's, I mean, that's, oh, it's so sad to me. Cause I feel like we're watching her A, make a fool of herself. And then like, we're watching her, I don't know. I don't like to be the person that says mental health, but I don't know.
But mental health is a serious thing, and I don't know.
That's why I don't like to be the person to say, look at her mental health, but then at the same time, I'm like, I don't know how else to describe everything that's happening.
You know? Yeah, I definitely think that, like, the spiritual realm, like, God uses everything for his good, to glorify him. Even, like, the demons and evil things are meant to somehow point us back to God and his glory. And so I think that, like, the demons that could be disguising themselves as aliens, I don't know, or, you know, trying to point away from God and his glory. Yeah. And that's just the realm Demi's dabbling in right now.
Yeah. And you know what, now that I'm like thinking about it, it also could just be a spiritual, like, not even necessarily like mental health. It could be like spiritually oppressed. Because I mean, even in an interview when she was talking about like changing over to a they, she said something like, well, this is how I feel today. And like, people who actually have body dysmorphia, they're not like switching back and forth. They're not like, it's not a trend mm-hmm. to them. And yeah. It's sad. It's sad watching your childhood favorite singer turn into this.
Yeah. So call our Demi Lovato hotline right now. You can help us by calling 1-800-222-DEMI today.
Well, Melanie, is there anything you want to tell the audience?
Well, yes, Mallory, there is something that I want to tell the audience. It's that time of year again, folks. We are collecting money for pads and tampons for women in shelters in North Carolina. One of the least donated items in the shelters are pads and tampons. Mm-hmm. But we are stepping up to fill in the gap for these women. Last year, our goal was $200, and we exceeded that and bought 792 pads and 296 tampons. Let's surpass that goal this year, everyone. Acts 20, verse 35 says, in all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Can I get an amen, Mallory?
Amen, amen, amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Praise God. So yeah, guys, donate. We're almost, let me see where we are today. We're almost at the goal. I'm very, like, very, very proud of how far or how much everyone's donated and how much people have cared. And someone donated I mentioned it on our on the feed. We're at $190 and our goal is $250. So let's see if we can get to $250 by the end of October. And then somebody donated natural pads and tampons, which I think is great. So I donated those to a school that does like natural, they're trying to do natural stuff. So it's just been great. Like I said, I have been reached out to by the school as well to help provide for them. So it's great. Like I love this. I honestly would love to make this even bigger one day. But you know, do not despise small beginnings. But yeah. Okay, so our next story. It is interesting. Unsupported sick out claims take flight amid Southwest woes. when Southwest Airlines canceled more than 2,000 flights over the weekend, citing bad weather and air traffic control issues, unsupported claims blaming vaccine mandates began taking off. Conservative politicians and pundits, including Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, alleged that the flight disruptions resulted from pilots and air traffic controllers walking off their jobs or calling in sick to protest federal vaccinated requirements. The airline, its pilots union, and the Federal Aviation Administration denied that. The weekend challenges were not a result of Southwest employees' demonstrations, Southwest spokesperson Chris Mays said Monday. Still, Twitter posts claiming airline employees were standing up to medical tyranny and participated in a mass sick out amassed thousands of shares. Vague and anonymous messages on social media speculated that Southwest was hiding the real reason for its disruptions. And anti-vaccine rallying cries such as hashtag do not comply, hashtag no vaccine mandate, and hashtag hold the line were among the 10 most popular hashtags tweeted in connection to the Southwest over the weekend, according to a reporter from media intelligence firm Viglin Labs. So what do you think?
Well, I was not affected.
Did you fly this weekend?
No, I have not flown in recent months. I admire that people are standing up, that people are saying, you know, enough is enough. And it's sad that it has to go so far as to losing one's job. But I admire that people are starting to, we could think of it like wake up. And like, I know that that's similar to some parts of Australia, what's mm-hmm. happening there. But it's hard. But this is, I feel like this is what protecting your freedom can look like. And freedom being that individual freedom, that right to do or not take this vaccine. It just shouldn't come to this of losing people's jobs and livelihood.
I agree. That is, I will say, I feel incredibly blessed to have the job that I have, that I'm not concerned about a vaccine mandate taking that away. I think that is such a blessing. And not a lot of people, I mean, I'm in Facebook groups and people are, that's a very tough thing. And, you know, I want to say that we're not necessarily anti-vax. Like, I don't think that every vaccine ever created is the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity. And I think it's just some people want the opportunity to choose. I personally have not taken it, and I don't really see myself taking it anytime soon. And we all know Melanie didn't. She mentioned it earlier in the episode. and I think we have every right to still be treated as a regular human, we shouldn't have to lose our job over something like this. Now, you know, I was trying to think of something to compare it to, but I can't really compare it to anything. Like, this is, to me, this is crazy. And I do want to say this. So, you know, in the article, it did mention how it's, people are saying that, it might not have necessarily been a real, an actual vaccine. Or, like, that's not the reason why the flights were down, is because of weather, blah, blah, blah. Some people did some research, and other flights were not canceled from other airlines going to the same airports because of weather. So then what was the reason, you know? I think it is coming a time where people are going to have to really make a choice. And I think that, let me see how to say this. It's come a time where people are going to have to make a choice of how they, of what they believe in. Because there's tons of people who I know that are vaccinated but are against the mandates. And when you make that choice of what you believe in, it unfortunately can cost you a lot. But if we're all standing up for what we believe in, I think it could really make a difference.
Yeah. And again, I just want to reiterate the difference of a forced vaccine versus a forced, because I know I've heard like the pro-abortion argument is like, you want people to have the right to choose the vaccine, and you should be for the right to choose to have an abortion. So an abortion is the intentional ending of human life. An abortion is a violent procedure that starves, suctions, rips apart, and or poisons a preborn human, rather than a vaccine, which is a person who can choose to genetically modify themselves. And this isn't hurting another human being. So I just wanted to say that again for those people, because I know our language of like, people should have the right to choose, there shouldn't be a mandate. And that sounds very pro-choice of us. But the thing is whether you choose to get the vaccine or not, isn't intentionally ending the human life of somebody else. Whereas with an abortion, a human life ends every time, intentionally. So just wanted to refute that if anyone's wondering, like,
Great. That was a great comeback. Maybe I'll try to like clip that for people to have that knowledge with them. Is Manolo doing okay?
I feel like I keep getting up to close my door. My mom's poked her head in a couple times. My dogs keep trying to come in.
We don't mind a cameo of Manolo or Mom Muffin. Manolo.
Okay, party.
But yeah, no, that seriously, that was a really good That was a really good breakdown. Hello, Manolo.
Yay, this could be a little clip that you make too. Keys. Can I have a keys or not?
He's camera shy.
Yeah,
but yeah, all right, so our last story before our OG politic is the one that you guys voted on. You guys wanted us to talk about Adele's some of the stuff she said about her weight loss journey and other things like that. So also, Adele's video and new song is out, came out on the 15th of October. Have you seen it or heard it yet?
No.
I watched it this morning. It was really good. It's beautiful. Are you an Adele fan?
Yeah, okay. I like her music. Yeah. I really only know the popular stuff. Like
Hello from...
Oh. Yeah, Hello, Rolling in the Deep.
Rumor has it to
be. Yeah. I don't know any like not well-known
gems. Yeah, same. Now that I'm thinking about it, I like her voice. I do like her voice.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's very inspirational for me personally. So let's get into what happened with Adele. So Adele, F word, is disappointed by women's comments about her weight loss. Adele felt disappointed that women were the ones having the most brutal conversations about her dramatic weight loss. Quote, my body's been objectified my entire career, end quote. The Grammy winner, 33, said in her Vogue cover story published Thursday. Quote, it's not just now. I understand why it's a shock, end quote. In early 2020, Adele revealed that she had lost 100 pounds after exercising over a two-year period. However, some people accused the singer of looking too skinny at the time, while others remarked she should not have felt the pressure to lose weight. Adele told Vogue, quote, I understand why women, especially, were hurt. Visually, I represented a lot of women, but I'm still the same person. And the worst part of the whole thing was that the most brutal conversations were being had by other women about my body, she added. I was very effing disappointed with that. That hurt my feelings, end quote. All right, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it, well, what are people saying? What are the mean comments that girls are saying of, well, like,
women,
what?
Well, I don't, like, know them off the bat, but, like, I've watched a couple of videos of people talking about them. People are just kind of like, wow, she lost all this weight. She didn't have to do that. Man, she don't longer, she doesn't even look healthy anymore. She, or, like, she, can she even sound the same? Singing and, like, people, is not, you know, years ago when you would lose weight, people, it was mainly only praise. Like, but now it's like,
oh my gosh, people, she's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, she looks fantastic. Yeah. Honestly, after we record, I'm going to eat my breakfast and then I'm going to the gym and I'm going to, like, just try to remember, like, use her as motivation. I mean, she lost over 100 pounds. That's how much I want to
lose. She looks fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like, but I've seen other, like pictures of her, like, along this journey, but I haven't seen her most recent, like, what she looks like right now. She looks amazing.
Yeah. And the quote-unquote body positive movement are upset because they lost someone that they thought was quote-unquote on their side. I mean, the same happened with Rebel Wilson. When Rebel Wilson, she lost a lot of weight too. Look her up, she looks good. She lost a lot of weight, I think. And it just kind of shows that the body positive movement isn't really for body positivity. It's kind of just for that acceptance, which is another movement that sometimes doesn't, I don't know. Fat acceptance and body positivity go hand in hand to me. But yeah, it's sad that people are really critical. And I think it also has a lot to say. So you're supposed to be answering, but let me just say this real quick. I think it also has a lot to say the fact that it's women. I think that women, we are probably our harshest critics, but this is just, we're going to do an episode on this another day, but it's all for the male gaze, but we are our harshest critics to other women. And I think that's sad. I feel bad that she feels that she's hurt by that, but she should feel great because she looks fantastic. Like, and I think it's like, I don't want to sound mean or catty, and I feel like I can also say this though because I am fat, so I can talk on the topic, but I think a reality is, like, you're just objectively, in the sight of the world in general, more attractive with lesser weight. That's just a reality, and it's, you know, you can say whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, there's studies that show that people who lose weight, they get better jobs, they're trusted more, they're promoted in their careers. That's just the halo effect, which we'll talk, do an episode on that too later. But yeah, I think it's, I hate that she feels that people were so mean over it. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that it's less, the movement of body positivity is partially a disguise for fat acceptance. There was a time I went through a phase of, like, body positivity and, like, really kind of just, like, believing in that mindset. And I feel like I still partially am. Like, I think there is some truth to that and there is some good in that. But it becomes,
I mean, you shouldn't hate yourself. Like, yeah, it's probably not healthy to look in the mirror and want to cry.
Yeah. And, but I think that, you know, good can be twisted, you know, things that were meant for good can be used for evil.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, I've always been very petite, and part of just the way how God designed my body is I'm very flat chested. And that was a huge point of insecurity for me growing up, because I always thought I'd reach a magical age and I would just blossom, and then I'd have these beautiful breasts along with my blossomed body, and that never happened. I'm not the flattest girl in the world, but I definitely don't have little to anything going on, which
you're proportional because how, you know, no offense if someone's like this, but you know, imagine your tiny body with double D's, like that wouldn't
hurt
you. And so
so for me, the body positivity movement, I don't know whenever it was first like hitting the scene, but I know for me in 2017 is when I really was like, yeah, body positivity. And it helped me, that movement, like finding other influencers on Instagram who would be proud of their flat chests and show, you know, I'm flat and I'm thriving. And so for me, I really found a lot of inspiration in that. And now I'm not insecure about my body in that way anymore. And yeah, so I just share that because I think that there is or was some good in that movement, but then I think it can be disguised, like you said, of fat acceptance, like unhealthy acceptance, mm-hmm. or also like over sexualization acceptance of like, you are not body positive enough if you're not afraid, unless you don't shave your legs and
take your top off, if you don't take pictures without,
if you're not wearing a bra, and I don't know what else, you know, it's like, oh, then you don't really love your body if you're not also,
if you can't walk into the grocery store without a top on, you don't love your body, you're not comfortable with yourself.
And so,
or like Lizzo,
I think that's when it gets distorted, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, there is some good, I think, in seeing another person and being like, wow, she's flat like me, flat chested, and she's gorgeous and she's working and whatever. So I think that there can be some that good, especially for younger girls, preteen girls, that can see someone and say, wow, that person is big like me, and they're on a weight loss journey. Wow, I can be like her, you know, like rather than the influencers who are very big and they're dancing and wearing, you know, very sexualized clothing and saying like, come on, everyone, love your bodies like me. I don't know. I don't think that that's the good that was meant to come with body acceptance.
I think you made a bajillion great points just now, and I think that what you said about flat-chested is a good example of, at the end of the day, like, you can't grow more of your breasts. I don't think that's really how it works. I mean,
there's definitely the breast augmentation surgery,
but I personally,
that's an extreme option, though,
and I personally don't want to promote that, but that's something that God has blessed you with, because, you know, a body is a blessing, and you, as opposed to, like, for example, and once again, I feel like I can speak on this as someone who's fat but trying to not be, like, there's, once you get to about 250 as a woman, you don't do that if you're mentally healthy, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And then B, like, you can't convince me that you're happy. I will never believe that you're happy and satisfied. I don't care who you are. If you are 250 plus as a woman, there's no way you're happy and satisfied with your body. No way. Absolutely none. And the thing is, like, it is incredibly difficult to lose weight, but it is possible. It's not possible to grow your breasts more. I think what has happened is, because it's so hard, people start equating weight loss to things that you can't change. If you're born without an arm, there's literally nothing you can do about that. For whatever reason, you were born without an arm. You love yourself. I don't think it's wrong to have a doll that doesn't have an arm. I do think it would be wrong to have a doll that is purposely morbidly obese. So I think that because of the emotional aspect of it, because it is hard. I don't care what anyone tells you, losing weight is hard. It is not easy. And especially once, if you have to lose over like 40 pounds, it's like, it is probably one of the hardest things you will go through. Mentally and physically. So I think because of that, it's kind of got into this, it jumped from the category of it's possible to like it's impossible. It's something that you can't change about yourself. So then body positivity should be about things you can't change. You can't change if you're flat chested. That's just, I mean, you can't get the surgery, but once again, I don't necessarily want to promote that. But
no, neither do I.
Yeah,
because I think that that's opposite of body positivity, because then you're not really accepting the body you're in.
Oh my goodness, yes. And we will be doing an episode on this, because I also want to talk about BBLs. Like, that is not body positivity. And I'm sorry, once again, you are not getting more on your chest. You are not getting more on your butt. You are not fixing X, Y, and Z in your face because you want to. It is all for the male gaze. Because if you were, you could spend money to, anyway, a whole nother conversation. But yeah, so like, I think it's just been, so I think body, you're right, body positivity probably started off as like this really great thing to help people who had things that just really couldn't change about them, but because of the emotional and the difficulty of weight loss, it has taken over. And those, the people who are in the body positivity movement are incredibly loud, and it just kind of morphed into something else. And I think it's really sad, because, and also too, you said you were in that, I was, and I've said this before, like, I was all for a little bit, I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just be fat forever, this is just how God made me. And like, I had a dream, like in my dreams, this is so stupid, in my dreams I'm not fat, I don't know how or why. What? But I know in my dreams I'm not fat, and I've been fat my entire life. But and I did have one dream where I was fat. So I thought that was God telling me, like, this is it. This is who you are. So, like, I dabbled in the whole body positivity movement for a while. And it really, it is toxic like that. Like, it is, once you, if you just, like, get in some of the forums, if you follow some of the people online, they just really have a distaste for people who even want to lose weight. Like, you can want to lose weight and still love yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard it's possible.
Yeah, I think at least from what I've seen online, the people who are like anti losing weight or anti wanting to eat a strictly mostly healthy diet to your choosing is because they come from some type of like eating disorder. And so I don't know, I guess it's almost like an offense to them of like, what do you mean you want to try keto and stick with it, and like, so
yeah.
That's why I just think there needs to be some healthy balance of like,
yeah,
that body acceptance of trying to love yourself where you're at, and but then, you know, and that encouragement too of you can get to the point where you want to be, and you can eat that donut if and when you want to have that donut, you know.
Yeah Well, that is all of our stories for today. Our last and final thing is our OG politic. And this spotlight is brought to you by Culture of Life 1972. You can head over to col1972.com and use our code THOSEOTHERGIRLS1972 and get 10% off your purchase. 100% of your purchase goes to pro-life causes. So what happened this week in politics, I found very interesting when I was doing research on this. So a dancer, courtesan, and alleged spy, Mata Hari, was executed for espionage by a French firing squad at Venice outside of Paris. So she came to Paris in 1905 and found fame as a performer of Asian-inspired dances. She soon began touring all over Europe, telling the story how she was born in a sacred Indian temple and taught ancient dances by priestesses who gave her the name Mata Hari, meaning the eye of the day, in Mali. In reality, Mata Hari was born in a small town in northern Holland in 1876, and her real name was Margaretha Gertruderia Zell. I butchered that, but the link will be available so you can look more into it yourself. She acquired her superficial knowledge of Indian and Javanese dances when she lived for several years in Malaysia with her former husband, who was a scout in the Dutch colonial army. Regardless of her authenticity, she packed dance halls and opera houses from Russia to France, mostly because her show consisted of her slowly stripping nude. Interesting. She became a famous courtesan with the outbreak of World War I, and her catalog of lovers began to include high-ranking military officials of various nationalities. In February of 1917, French authorities arrested her for espionage and imprisoned her at Saint-Lazare's prison in Paris. In a military trial conducted in July of that year, she was accused of revealing details of the Allies' new weapon, the tank, resulting in the death of thousands of soldiers. She was convicted and sentenced to death on October 15th. She refused the blindfold and was shot to death by firing squad at Venices. There is some evidence that Mata Hari acted as a German spy and for a time as a double agent for the French. But the Germans had written her off as an ineffective agent who produced little intelligence of value. Her military trial was riddled with bias and circumstantial evidence, and it is probable that French authorities trumped her as the greatest woman spy of the century as a distraction for the huge loss the French army was suffering on the Western Front. Two things that I read there. First, I'll go backwards on the things that shocked me the most. She refused a blindfold for the death of firing squad. Okay, that's really like, all right, sis. Like, that's BA. That's pretty BA. Or boss. That's pretty boss. Second thing is, she's stripped nude. And that just goes to show, over the years, nothing much has changed. And that's why she was successful. Unfortunately.
Body positivity.
Yeah, nothing much has changed. That is what gets, what is it? Sex sells. So, yeah, that's what happened this week in politics/history.
Nice.
Yeah. Interesting story, right?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please make sure you like, review, subscribe, follow, rate, do all the stuff for us. Oh, what should our question be for Spotify? Should it be like, what childhood game could you win?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so on Spotify, seriously, you guys, like, if you listen on Spotify, please answer our questions. It's super, I think it'll be fun. Tell us what childhood game you would win in Squid Game. And make sure you share this episode with all of your friends. Tell everyone you know that this is the best women's Christian conservative podcast, where we talk about everything. We talk about praying for Demi Lovato all the way to German, Russian, Indian dancing spies, and body positivity, how much we are proud of Adele, all the way to, unfortunately, the death of some zebras that were lost in Maryland. R.I.P.
And Gabby Petito.
We will continue to keep you guys up to date on that because we did an episode about it and because we brought it up before. So, tell all your friends, please listen to us. If you enjoy the podcast, you can also become a monthly contributor. And that will also help get really way better equipment, get me a decent backdrop. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Mwah.
Thank you for listening to Those Other Girls with Mallory and Bailey. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Head over to our website, thoseothergirls.com, to read our blogs and receive exclusive content. And connect with us on Instagram at Those Other Girls Podcast and on Twitter at TOG_podcast. Those Other Girls, changing culture and bringing back traditional values.